With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
100 years, 100 champions.
The Packers were crowned world champions in the gelid confines of their own arena.
A century of football is the backdrop for this NFL season.
Riggins, he's going to go all the way.
A centennial celebration of the ghosts and the goats.
Montana launches it for the end zone. Jerry Rice!
The NFL at 100. What will happen next?
Oh, my God. Tyree just goes up for it.
College football turns 150 with new national powers emerging.
Watson throws for a touchdown with 1 second to go.
And superstars dominating Saturdays like never before.
Jake wants to throw corner route to the right.
I think, yeah, touchdown.
Boy, you can't throw that football any better, Jake Fromm.
Find out every week. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you, too. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Thanks so much for being with us. And a fine Sunday morning, everybody. As always, this is the best 2 hours for football coverage on sports radio. We do a lot of college football on Saturdays, from Saturdays, and then preview the NFL Sunday. Coming up this hour on the show, we'll get a Vegas perspective on things from R.J. White, this week's Vegas virtuoso, to look at today's NFL action. Also, a little bit later on in the hour, we'll hear from Kyle Turley, who has some interesting NFL conspiracy theories rolling around his mind. The former Pro Bowl offensive lineman looking at officiating in the NFL and saying something is up. If you want to join us on the phones, you're welcome to. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, you can hit me up, DA on CBS. And remember, if you miss any part of the show, want to hear it again, it's available in podcast form as well. Same place you get the DA show on a weekly basis, a daily basis on iTunes or Spotify or radio.com. Those podcast places have Sunday Morning Football as well. So catch up on whatever you may have missed or want to hear again. All places podcasts are downloaded. We are coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
30 plus years of service. Only man to shoot down 3 enemy planes in the last 40 years.
Attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot.
The end is inevitable, Maverick. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
Illinois had lost to Eastern Michigan this year. Eastern Michigan, a directional school. Lovie Smith has basically retired to Champaign like Del Boca Vista. This is just an AARP check each and every week for him. So yesterday, when undefeated Wisconsin, who had pitched 4 shutouts this season, went to Illinois, they were propped up as a 31-point favorite. 31-point. They were a 31-point favorite yesterday. It should have been no contest. It should have been blink and Wisconsin's up by 4 touchdowns. And instead, Wisconsin played one of the sloppiest games it has played in years. In years. And it's crazy because Illinois scheduled this as their homecoming, which should have been Illinois losing by 5 touchdowns and looking really embarrassing on homecoming. But instead, they held it together. They got some turnovers. They got short fields. And at the end of the game, had a chance to win and pulled the trigger, kicked the field goal, and knocked off undefeated Wisconsin 24-23 as 30-plus point underdogs. And so for Wisconsin, that still has a matchup against Ohio State directly ahead, forget even getting to the Big Ten championship game. Have they eliminated themselves from the playoff consideration?
Third and five, Wisconsin. From their own 45, leading by only two. Snap back, Cone. Looks to throw right. Pass is intercepted. Intercepted. Tony Adams at midfield. And the Illini have a takeaway. Boy, look at that sideline.
That's Learfield. IMG on the call. They're not completely out of it, but you'd have a hard time putting in a team that lost to Illinois in the college football playoff. Here's how it could happen. If in their next game they beat Ohio State, which seems kind of impossible based on what we just saw yesterday, but if they beat Ohio State there, they end up winning that side of the Big Ten, beating Minnesota in the final game of the regular season, beating Iowa as well. So they'd have to have three ranked wins, basically, beat Ohio State, and then get to the Big Ten championship game and beat Ohio State or Penn State. They'd have to beat Ohio State a second time, or if Penn State gets there. Then a one-loss Big Ten team that had beaten Ohio State and Penn State, or Ohio State twice, and they'd probably need some help, like writing out the Pac-12 champion, perhaps, or you'd have to say, no, or Utah, they're not belonging in. And you're taking the SEC winner, the ACC winner, the Big 12 winner, and then you would get to a one-loss Wisconsin team that had lost to Illinois. But out of all the one-loss teams that they're going to have to consider, that would by far be the worst loss. There is not going to be a worse loss by any contender to be in the college football playoff than what Wisconsin just suffered. So all I'm saying is Green Bay better beat the Raiders today. Because if Wisconsinites have to deal with the Badgers losing to Illinois and the Packers letting the Raiders come into Lambeau and win, it's going to be a really sad day. There's going to be a lot of beer drank and a lot of cheese eaten. Oh, wait a second. That would happen anyway. There is a crack for Wisconsin to get into the playoff, but it ain't big. In the NFL, Jalen Ramsey sat out the last few weeks in Jacksonville because of the flu, because of a back injury, because he wanted to be with his daughter when she was born. All of these reasons, and it kept coming back to the back. He was on the sideline, could not play. And everybody knew that he was just holding out and making up excuses so that he would eventually be traded. He was to the Rams. And now suddenly, he's active today.
I don't like to see when players get rewarded for bad behavior, and I just think that's exactly what took place here. He didn't like the situation in Jacksonville. I don't know if he had an issue with the position coach or the head coach, teammates or whatever, but clearly he didn't want to be there. And then, of course, he comes up with the issue with his back. I'm not suggesting that there weren't any issues, but certainly I think he could have played over the last 3 weeks, and now we're hearing that he's going to be able to play this week. So he must have gotten a hold of a really good doctor, some really good treatment to be able to turn around that quickly. But that's disappointing.
That was Rich Gannon, who joined me earlier in the week from the NFL on CBS, and I agree with him. I think the whole Ramsey thing is embarrassing. You know, I understand these players wanted to be more empowered, perhaps like the NBA players, that the superstars want to dictate their terms. But the fact is Ramsey was lying the entire time about the injury. I mean, he doesn't suddenly come back from a back injury the first game he's ready to play for the Rams, because you know he was not going to play this week for the Jaguars if he was still on Jacksonville. And the Rams didn't care. The Rams gave up two first-rounders. I think it was far too much to give up. I understand giving up one. I don't understand giving up two first-rounders for Jalen Ramsey. I think that the Rams organization is under some major pressure to fill that building next year, their brand-new stadium. Because remember, the way that Stan Kroenke built this thing was he had to go out and buy the acreage, the land at Englewood himself. He didn't get any tax breaks, didn't get any free land like most stadiums are built with. He said, I got to go buy it. Then he had to build the stadium himself. Didn't get any public money for it, because in California, they don't do that thing. They don't play that game, which is the best thing that we actually have a state in professional sports that say, we're not going to build you your stadiums for free, whereas every other state seems to do that for everybody. California said, no, you got to do it yourself. Kroenke said, fine, I'll do it, because Kroenke's got Walmart money. That's that long Walmart money. He bought his land, he built a stadium, but he's on the hook for $5 billion. That's with a B. That's a $5 billion enterprise buying the land and building that stadium himself. So guess what? They need to get corporate signage. They need to fill those luxury suites. They need big Fortune 500 companies to buy in. And they need to sell PSLs. They need to get season ticket holders in there to start paying this off. And I think that's why they paid so high a price for Jalen Ramsey. And that's why they've spent money on Aaron Donald, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, and been really aggressive. I don't think it's worth throwing away two first-rounders for Ramsey. But I think it's a bigger problem that Ramsey can play a fool for the last 3 weeks, play the Jaguars like idiots, get his way, and then suddenly suit up. Oh, you know what? My back's fine. Hallelujah. I've been healed. My back is great, baby. And finally, tonight, the game of the weekend, perhaps, is Eagles and Cowboys, because loser falls below 500. They're both 3-3. And a lot of fire coming Jason Garrett's way. Is Garrett as good as gone if he loses tonight? Here's Dak Prescott.
He's been the same guy through and through, and he always will be. Credit him to that. But that's what you expect. Guy's a professional and always that way. Knows how to lead a team. And I've said it before. We all got his back in this locker room.
Yeah, I got a hard time believing that. That's great quote, great sentiment from the quarterback. Dak is expected to be the leader there. Good idea by the quarterback, saying the right things. But come on. You're telling me that all 53 guys in that locker room think that Jason Garrett's the guy to lead them to a championship? There ain't no way. No way. They all know what they have. They all know that they've got one of the best running backs in football. They know when healthy, they've got one of the best offensive lines in football. They know when healthy, they can look like they did in the first three games of the season with Dak throwing touchdowns and no interceptions and the defense pitching shutouts. And they've got a lot of money wrapped up in this roster. And that is that's the unforgiving part of this for Jason Garrett. There's so much money spent that even though Jerry Jones loves himself some Jason Garrett, Jerry Jones is not going to be paying this much money to not make the playoffs. He's not going to pay this much money and give everybody their contracts. Everybody's getting paid and not get home playoff games, which you get if you win the division. So I don't believe that Jason Garrett is totally defended inside that locker room, and I don't believe he's totally defended inside that organization. I think he's been a good soldier for a long time, and Jerry likes puppets like that. I think Jerry's ego enjoys not having somebody push back, having somebody take the bullets for him, that Jason Garrett's a good dinner guest. I think all these things factor into, yeah, we like him around here. But, you know, if Jason Garrett loses tonight's game and this is an 8-8 Cowboys season that collapses without a playoff bid, I do believe this is the end of the road for Garrett. Although, damn, he's a good conversationalist over a steak dinner, isn't he? I mean, he must be. Because how else do you keep a job for a decade and never get to an NFC Championship game? I'll tell you what, that Jason Garrett, he can circumcise a mosquito. You just sit there and listen to him spin a yarn. He always has his pinky up. He knows how to use the right silverware. He has them funny stories from the locker room. I just love having him around for dinner. You should see him getting into a rack of ribs. Oh, boy, he's got the sauce all over his face. I tell you, it's funny dinner with Jason Garrett, I tell you. I'm going to have a hard time firing him. But maybe I'll hire him as my butler.
When we come back here on the show, we'll do our Vegas Virtuoso segment. R.J. White will give us the Vegas lines and action and stuff that he likes when he looks at the numbers today around the NFL. This is Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio.
Winners
Whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
Place your bets.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again.
You win.
And our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Our Vegas virtuoso this week is R.J. White from Sportsline. R.J., good morning. How you doing?
Doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing great as always. Thanks so much for joining us. And let's start with one of the biggest lines of the weekend, the Buffalo Bills, who are favored by 17 points at home against the Miami Dolphins. I know the Dolphins are bad, but is this too wide a line, even with how bad the Dolphins are, considering the Dolphins almost got a win last weekend over Washington?
Well, look, I've been on the Dolphins twice this year on big lines, and it hasn't worked out for me, so I don't know that I can play them again. But it does seem like the smart move. The Bills don't have a great offense. It's an offense built around run efficiency. They're eighth in the league in DVOA versus 29th versus the pass. You know they're going to want to grind out the game. They've played a lot of bad teams on their schedule, and they only went over a total of 40 for one. So once you get these lower total games, you have a lot easier chance of covering a massive spread like the one we have here. So I don't think the Dolphins' offense is going to light it up. It's not like they were great when Ryan Fitzpatrick was under center earlier in the year. But in this case, I do like the Dolphins here, you know, just a little bit, but I don't know that I'm betting on them.
One of the most interesting games of the week is going to be the Texans and the Colts today. This one's in Indianapolis. Of course, the Texans have Deshaun Watson exploding right now, but the Colts are coming off that nighttime win 2 weeks ago at Arrowhead Stadium. The Colts are a slight favorite of this one, favored by right now a point and a half. Are you surprised at all that Indy is the favorite?
Not really. Both teams went to Kansas City, got a win recently, but I thought Houston played a lot better in their game. They outgained the Chiefs 472 yards, 309, won the first down battle 35-20. Indy's numbers weren't as great. Teams try to beat Houston with the run. They have the fourth most carries against, but only 29th in pass attempts. But Houston hasn't allowed 100 yards rushing in four games, and they have a really good rush defense efficiency. I think Indy's defense struggled this year. I don't know that they can handle a well-rounded Houston offense. So I can understand why the line is this way, but I'm kind of leaning to the Texans. The other interesting thing is home teams after a bye since 2011, as the Colts are in this situation, are only covering about 42% of the time. So that's another check mark on the Houston side of the ledger.
It's a good week of matchups. The Sunday night game, NFC East, Eagles and Cowboys. The Cowboys are a 3-point favorite in this game, despite coming off that horrendous loss last week against the New York Jets. How do you view this Eagles-Cowboys matchup?
Yeah, the thing here is to take into account is injuries. The Eagles ruled about six guys out, I believe, on Friday. The Cowboys had a ton of guys as questionable, and it looks like a lot of their offensive pieces are going to come back, like Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins. They might have both of those tackles back. So that's why the line, it had been 2.5. It ticked back up to 3 because the Cowboys are getting healthier. So it's really just to keep an eye on the inactive list before the game, before making a move. But you can understand why it's Cowboys at 3. If both these teams are fully healthy, I would like the Eagles on this value. I think they're a slightly better team, but you have to take the injuries into account.
R.J. White from Sportsline, our Vegas virtuoso today. Another really good matchup, a late game. Ravens in Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Seahawks are a 3-point favorite in this game. So that basically means that's all because of home field advantage on a neutral site. They would say, Vegas would say, these are two evenly matched teams. Do you think Lamar Jackson can go to Seattle and actually pull the upset?
Well, it's interesting. The Ravens look like a great team. They're 4-2 record, first in points per drive on the year. They've had back-to-back great games on defense, but the team is 0-5 against the spread after blowing out Miami, depending on where you got the numbers on their KC and Pittsburgh games, because those are really close to the line. And they haven't really faced a ton of good teams. You know, aside from the Chiefs, there's not really a test on their schedule. Seattle runs too much, considering the D is number one in pass defense, pass DVOA. I would like to see them throw a little more with Russell, put the ball in his hands because he's been so great. He has 14 touchdowns, no interceptions. You know you're not going to turn the ball over with him. I don't think Marcus Peters is the missing piece to fix that Baltimore pass defense. So it's a great coaching matchup. That's the only reason why I might hesitate a little bit for Seattle, but I do like their home field advantage. I would kind of give them the benefit of the doubt in a Russell Wilson versus Lamar Jackson matchup.
The Saints, even without Drew Brees, have been winning each and every week with Teddy Bridgewater, and yet they're an underdog again, this time in Chicago against the Bears. Do the Bears deserve to be a 4-point favorite of this game?
Yeah, this tells me that people think the Bears are better than the Saints, and I'm not sure that I buy that. I mean, sure the Saints have their backup quarterback, but Chicago's offense was pretty bad with Mitchell Trubisky under center earlier in this year. New Orleans has the third-best turnover rate on offense. Teddy Bridgewater knows how to keep control of the ball. They haven't had one game with more than one turnover. And they've held three straight solid offenses in Dallas, Tampa, and Jacksonville to less than 260 yards. So I think the under is a very low number, and I kind of lean to that way anyway. But I do think the Saints should cover this game. I just don't understand why the Bears are going to be favored by so much, especially with that home team after a bye stat that I quoted where they're only covering 42% of the time. So I'm not giving credit for the Bears coming off a bye in the sense because they're playing at home.
Finally, Vikings and Lions in Detroit. I know that Kirk Cousins looked great last week, but the Lions have a really good defense, and the Vikings are a road favorite in this game, favored by 2.5 points. Should people be scared away of Cousins being a favorite on the road against the Lions defense?
This line has made a lot of movement. I know it was Detroit -1 to open the week in some of the jersey books, and now it's all the way up to 2.5. I think the smart play here is on the under. These are two good teams with better defenses than offenses. The under is 25-16-2 in Vikings road games under Mike Zimmer. Detroit's been great passing the ball, but Minnesota's got a well-rounded defense. They know how to defend both the pass and the run. Detroit is a little susceptible to the run, so I do think Minnesota's going to be able to pound the ball a little bit, so you can understand why they're favored. I do think the Lions are an underrated team, but it's going to be tough coming off that heartbreaking loss where it feels like it got stolen from them. You know their mind was on what did the refs do? We didn't deserve to lose that game, and they've probably been stewing on it for the year, for the week. And when you do that, you're not preparing for the next team. So I think you might still be a little distracted, and I can understand why Vikings are favored. I would probably lean to the Vikings, but I do love the under.
RJ White from Sportsline. Check out his analysis and his picks by going to sportsline.com. RJ has joined us throughout the season here on Sunday Morning Football. RJ, good stuff this morning, man. Enjoy football today.
All right, you too.
RJ White from Sportsline. When we come back, two-time Super Bowl champion Lawrence Tynes is going to join us here on Sunday Morning Football. DA with you, CBS Sports Radio.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
And today, the NFL on CBS is at Lambeau Field. The Packers hosting the Raiders, plus a key AFC South clash between Houston and Indy. All begins with JB and the guys getting you ready for all of the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. All season long, in honor of 100 years of the NFL, we've been joined by Super Bowl champions, Pro Football Hall of Famers, and some of the greats ever. And joining us next, our guest has two rings, big, fat, gaudy, delicious rings. He kicked two of the biggest field goals in NFC Championship game history, both in overtime, one at Lambeau, one at Candlestick, to send the New York Giants to Super Bowl 42 and 46, of course, both of which they would beat the Patriots en route to Super Bowl championships. He was the NFC scoring leader in 2012 as well. Lawrence Tynes, a good friend of mine, joining us this morning on the show. LT, good morning.
Good morning. What's up? That was a nice intro. Appreciate that.
Thanks. I'm getting better with age, yeah. I think, with you. Every time you come on, I find something else to promote you with.
We didn't get the salsa piece, though.
No, that's true. Hot sauce. That's true. I want to ask you about this hot take you have about Tua Tagovailoa. You wouldn't think that a guy that played kicker in the NFL for so many years would have such strong opinions about a quarterback in college and have everybody looking at you, but this is what is happening right now. You think that Tua is completely overrated as a quarterback coming out of college. Why?
You look at him, and I have strong opinions, obviously, but I just look at him kind of a Mitchell Trubisky. He's in that one read kind of mode. Like, I watch him, and if his first read's not there after play action, he's tucking the ball, he's running around. He is going to get killed in the NFL if he does that. And I just don't think that translates. That's really what I see when I watch him play. A little bit of Trubisky. There's some other guys I can't really think of off the top of my head. He can throw the ball well. I just don't think he has the game to play in the NFL. If you cannot play this game from the pocket, like Eli did, like Breeze, like Manning, like all it, Brady, I just don't think you can last. And you can win a few games. You can trick someone for a year. We saw that with RG3 and some of the other guys. You have to play the game from the pocket. I don't think he can consistently do that for 10, 12 years.
So do you think then that Lamar Jackson's a little bit of a flavor of the week and won't last?
I don't know, but he's a better runner than all those guys. So he's able to produce offense with his feet and his arm. Those guys aren't good enough runners. None of them are, to do what Lamar Jackson does. I love Lamar Jackson's game. Do I think he's going to last forever? No. But I think you can win more consistently with that than you can with, you know, kind of the one read guy, the Mariotas of the world. I feel like Winston's kind of a one or two read. Well, he holds on to the ball too long. And then I just think that those guys cannot consistently win unless you can play from the pocket. It's been that way in pro football for a long time. And I think it'll continue to be that way.
So Tua might be a top three draft pick coming up in the draft. And you said you think he's more like a fifth or sixth rounder in your mind?
I said fifth to seventh. So he could go anywhere from fifth to seventh. And that's my opinion. But it actually, you know, stirred the pot quite a bit.
I would say so, yes.
Go ahead. I hope someone does take him. I hope it's like someone in the NFC East that takes him top three. I hope he does well. I just don't see it. I don't see it watching him play on Saturdays. I don't see his game translating to the NFL. I just don't. I think he's a one-read guy. There's a lot of one-read guys in the NFL, and those guys don't last.
Lawrence Tynes joins us, two-time Super Bowl champion. Do you think that Jason Garrett's holding back the Cowboys?
Yeah. Still, I think they need something else in there. I mean, Urban Meyer was already lobbying for the job. He's given a job. I mean, he's already taken other people's jobs that currently doesn't even exist. Obviously, I feel like they have players. They have a great offense. They've got a really good defense. It just seems like they just are so stagnant. So I could see maybe Jerry making a change there.
In Kansas City, they're talking about maybe Patrick Mahomes being back within 3 weeks. Mm. Do you think that that's a huge risk to take in pushing him back too soon?
Yeah. So since that's happened, I've been out and about here in town, obviously, in Kansas City, and played golf yesterday with some guys that obviously wanted to bring it up. And I think you base his return off how well the defense is playing in about a month. If that defense is kind of on the trend upward, you bring them back, because they're not going to win the Super Bowl with that defense. It's just not going to happen. But now in 4 or 5 weeks, or maybe after their bye week, 3 weeks would be too early. In 4 or 5 weeks, if they've been 500 in that span with him out, and their defense is playing well, trending up, Chris Jones comes back, and start getting some pressure from the quarterback, then you got to make a decision. But you have to protect number 15. I mean, he is the franchise. He's going to be paid $40+ million a year in the offseason. I mean, I would just make a really, really sound decision. I think it's based off the defense and his health, obviously. But I think the defense is that's the main thing I would look at, is how well is this defense playing. Because you're not winning the Super Bowl right now with that defense.
Did you think it was a mistake for them to run the quarterback sneak?
No. You can get hurt walking to practice. Injuries are part of the game. You can get hurt, you know, walking to the grocery store. I just don't subscribe to that. I mean, they were just playing football. You can't play this game cautiously.
I was kind of surprised that so many people questioned Andy Reid there, because, I mean,
yeah,
Tom Brady runs the quarterback sneak every single week. He's 42 years old. We never see quarterbacks
injured.
But
he's very pliable.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He's more pliable than our guy Mahomes. Pliable. I mean, it's like we're talking about Play-Doh here. More pliable. Great answer, Tommy. Yeah, that was funny.
How are those two rings sitting?
Good. They still fit. You know, I'm keeping myself in shape just in case someone calls for a playoff run. I'll be ready. I'm excited about the Giants. I know some people kind of – this Daniel Jones guy, I love him. I love Saquon and Ingram, and they're getting some guys back, and I hope Sterling takes enough time to get healthy. Those head things are serious. And I feel like the defense played well last week. Again, you know, they played against the Statue of Liberty a couple of weeks ago. Now they're about to play the Tasmanian Devil today. So it's going to be a tale of two quarterbacks. This Arizona team's scary, right? They're young, they're exciting, and they got Kyler Murray. So it'd be interesting to watch and see how they play today.
Yeah. Lawrence Tynes joins us this morning, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Giants. Of course, Eli was part of both of those championships. Was it hard for you to see Eli benched?
It was. I mean, listen, I'm an Eli backer. I love Eli. But I'll be honest with you, it was time. I mean, let's be real. I don't know if anyone's ever said it, but it was time. And I just think, you know, obviously we're all seeing what the Giants saw in Daniel Jones. We saw a little bit of it in the preseason, but this guy has you know, transferred the preseason into the regular season, which is tough, and he's only going to get better. But it was time. It really was time. And you know, hopefully they do something really cool for him at the end of the year. I'm excited for the Giants organization, to be honest with you. I think one should be excited based off the talent they acquired. Got to clean up the defense a little bit, get some talent over there, get a pass through. But I think everything's on the up and up over there. I think, you know, contrary to popular belief, Gettleman's doing a good job. And Shermer and Belcher and Betcher is his name.
Not Betcher, Belcher. Yeah.
That's like he's a burper. So I'm excited about them. You know, not this year. If they make the playoffs, that would be insane this year, but I don't anticipate them finishing better than 8-8.
So with the history of the NFL now at 100 years old, you hold a very significant place in NFL history with two overtime kicks to send the Giants to the Super Bowl and then two Super Bowl championships, one over the undefeated Patriots, one again against the Patriots in 2011. What's your favorite memory? What's your favorite moment? What do you get the most happiness and joy when you think back on out of that those two playoff runs?
For me, it's got to be the NFC Championship kick. I just think...
Which one? 07?
Sorry, Green Bay. Okay. Yeah, 08. 07 season, 08, yeah. So for me, right, there's a lot of made two, missed two, Lambeau Field minus 28, whatever the hell it was, historic. Green Bay was – I just – that plays into it more because of the venue, the game, the time of year, and then, you know, hitting a 47-yarder, you know, still the longest kick, I think, in the playoffs at Lambeau. So that'll be gone probably this year if the Packers get in the playoffs. But that's the one that sticks out to me the most, beating the 18-0 Patriots. Second Super Bowl run was great. It's fun. But, the first of anything is always the best.
And you took out the undefeated Patriots as, right, 13.5-point underdogs, 12.5-point underdogs, I think?
13-point dogs. 13. How about the Fighting Illini yesterday?
How about those Fighting Illini?
Yeah.
30-point dogs they pulled off the upset.
30-point. Good for Lovie Smith. What an awesome beard he had.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah.
That thing was nice.
I know. It's almost like a homeless guy beard. It's so long.
Yeah. And then he... does the post game as calm as can be, like he's always been. I think that's a guy. I don't know there's no way he should have been kicked out of the NFL like he was. That was silly, but it's like he's enjoying himself at Illinois.
There's a lot of bad coaches in the NFL these days, but there's a lot of bad officiating in the NFL. Is it hard for you to watch the refs?
It's been tough. It's gotten a little bit tough. I mean, that drive at the end of the game last week, the Jets and the Cowboys, That was kind of like, okay, here's the NFL in a nutshell. You know, because I was watching that game because I wanted the Jets to beat the Cowboys, and thankfully they did. But six flat, it's almost like they were giving them the game. And now you get people around town asking you, Lawrence, the NFL, you know, they're starting to question the viability of the product. Like, Lawrence, the NFL's fixed. I can tell you, blah, blah, you know, because everyone knows I played. I'm like, it's not. Just settle down. But, I mean, they're steering customers away, paying customers. So I think they'll get it fixed. I mean, listen, money fixes everything. So if you want to pay guys to stop being attorneys or whatever the heck else these guys do, and these ladies, of course, that are officials, pay them. Pay them good money and make them year-round officials. The product's too good for us to be talking about the officials.
I agree.
And so there's plenty of money to go around. So – hell, I'd even go start jogging and learning how to float for $500,000 a year. I'd get ready. I'd put on some stripes. Yeah.
Lawrence Tynes.
The uprights, I'll signal good or no good.
Line judge Tynes says the field goal is good.
Well, listen, I think if you made the money viable, right? So I think maybe you see more players do it, want to do it. I don't know. You know, maybe if you get there's plenty of money there. Not saying these guys and ladies and gentlemen that are doing it now, but pay some money. I think you'd see a lot of more formal players get into it.
Two-time Super Bowl champion Lawrence Tynes joining us this morning on the show. Follow him on Twitter for the hottest of takes, at LT4Kicks. At LT4Kicks. He's willing to mix it up with you. I love your Twitter game here. It's amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Thanks, as always, for joining me, bud.
Okay. All right, have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Lawrence Tynes joining us this morning on the show. I promise you this clip. Kyle Turley joined me earlier in the week, and Turley is questioning the integrity of the officiating.
Let's just say I've seen behind the curtain. I know a few things. And then otherwise, what we're about to talk about. I mean, I've seen this conversation as far as conspiracies go from every level now and into this whole conversation, like a segue into with cannabis. It's very real. I've seen a business plan and a stadium plot plan and everything for the San Antonio Saints. And let's just say that some things happened there. And, you know, a lot of other things happened around the NFL and around sports leagues in general. You know, people can go out there and just look up, the history of what sports is and who's won things and why and how do certain people stay on top. You know, the only true champion out there is the New England Patriots, period.
Okay. That's enough out of Kyle Turley. Okay, Kyle Turley joined me earlier in the week, and I pressed him on all of those things, and nothing was quite so lucid. I like him kind of just pushing in there. And, oh, by the way, cannabis is awesome. It's just as real as the NFL officiating. But it was interesting to hear him. I said, the Patriots are the one real champion? And there wasn't really good explanation why the Patriots were the one great champion or true champion. But Kyle Turley, never not interesting, I will say that. Never not interesting. And the San Antonio Saints thing, well, I'm pretty sure the NFL was worried that New Orleans was going to be underwater for a while after Katrina and maybe never recover to have professional sports again. So I don't know if that's really conspiracy theory so much. Let's bring you your football forecast.
CBS Weather Watch, our forecast with your personal touch. It's DA's football forecast.
The Lions in Detroit against the Minnesota Vikings. This one has a roof closed, of course, a true dome, but a 95% chance of a Ned Flanders sighting. I don't trust Kirk Cousins on the road after a big game last week, doing it again against a really good Lions defense. The fact that Cousins is favored in this game and the Vikings, I don't trust at all. I think there's going to be a Ned Flanders sighting. In Washington, temperatures in the 50s, rain in the forecast with an 80% chance of Kyle Shanahan running up the score. He is still bitter. His dad was fired. He's bitter at the way the whole thing ended in Washington for his dad, for him leaving, etc. And I think today, coming in there with a really good Niners team on a roll, they're going to try to put up a lot of points and stick it right to Dan Snyder. Don't be surprised if Kyle Shanahan is throwing with a lead in the fourth quarter. And in Atlanta, again, closed roof at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, but a 75% chance of Dan Quinn looking lost. I mean, the Rams are coming into town. I know the Rams are on a losing streak here as well, but don't you just feel like the Rams are going to come in and totally outclass the Falcons? They'll be left looking like chumps again, and Dan Quinn, why he's still employed, I have no idea. I know there's respect from Arthur Blank for Quinn leading this team to a Super Bowl a couple of years ago, but they have been on such a downward trajectory since that Super Bowl collapse, and Quinn needs to be out. I mean, Quinn, after losing last week in Arizona, should have just walked out into the desert sunset, followed his spirit and his dream into the sunset and become a hobo. There is no reason Dan Quinn should have made the flight back with this team. None at all. All right, that'll do it for you this morning on Sunday Morning Football. Thanks to Tom DiBenedetto, executive producer of Sunday Morning Football. Thanks to Dave Shepard, a.k.a. Shep, running the wheels of steel this morning. Thanks to Sammy Rubes, Sam Rubinoff, at WatchDA.com, the simulcast. And thanks to Greg Caserta on your headlines. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on the DA Show, everybody. Enjoy football. This is CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.